And so coming off of the season of Advent, we are here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And Isaiah, the prophet, is speaking on behalf of God. And Isaiah, on behalf of God, wants the people to know, verse 6, that a child is going to be born. And this child is going to have the government on his shoulders. And this child is going to have a fourfold name. He's going to be a wonderful counselor. He's going to be magnificent and full of wisdom. He's going to be mighty, true, and eternal strength. And at the very same time, God himself. He's going to be an everlasting, never changing, always present father to his people. And he is going to be the prince, the authority of peace that these people and we so desperately need. Isaiah chapter 9, this amazing promise of a coming Messiah. Now, I want you to flip with me to the right, to Isaiah chapter 42. So if that wasn't enough to draw your attention to Jesus in 2021, I can't help you at this point because that should be enough. But let's add a little more to this. Isaiah chapter 42, begin with me in just verse 1. Isaiah, speaking on behalf of God to God's people, says this: "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." Do you hear what God is saying here in Isaiah 42? He's saying, Israel, people of God, you and me, behold, gaze upon him. Feel his weightiness and otherness. Look upon him. He's my servant. I uphold him. And look at what God wants you to see about Jesus. One, he is chosen by God. And two, he is God's beloved, in whom my soul delights. Now, Isaiah tonight is calling us to see this Jesus Christ crystal clear and to worship him as God has revealed him. Now, how does this tie in to the year ahead? Well, continue to flip to the right. And you're going to go all the way to the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. We're going to go to this prophet Malachi beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. So from Isaiah the prophet saying, you have got to fix your gaze on this fourfold Messiah, to Isaiah saying, this one is the chosen, beloved one of God, to the final book, to Malachi chapter 1. We are now 100 years post the exile. Israel had been rebellious and apathetic at best. God had been good to them and returned them from the exile. God now gives a message through a new prophet, Malachi. And this message is that, well, sixfold here in the book of Malachi. And in this day, the people were living in Jerusalem. The temple had been rebuilt. Things were looking up. The proper worship of God could happen. And guess what? It didn't get any better. They were still rebellious. They were still sinful. Things were still broken. The promises that they had hoped for did not materialize. And why in Malachi's day? Well, the answer is because the problem wasn't the exile. The problem was their sin. The problem was never their location that they were outside of Jerusalem. The problem was within themselves. And when God brought them out of the exile, they still brought themselves with them, their sin. And so now they're back where they need to be, but sin is still reigning. And so join with me in Malachi chapter 1, verse 1, and listen to God speak through the prophet to his people. The oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. If Edom says, we are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins, the Lord of hosts says, they may build, but I will tear down, and they will be called the wicked country, and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. Your own eyes have seen this, and you shall say, great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. Now just consider this. God has revealed in Isaiah this coming promised, chosen, beloved Messiah. Malachi comes along, just like Isaiah, speaks on behalf of God, and what does it say? Verse 1, but the oracle. And I want you to circle that or make a note there. That is a burden, a weighty message of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Malachi, if you have a study Bible or just any really reputable, good Bible, you're going to have a footnote there. And it says his name, right? Malachi simply meaning my messenger. And in Malachi, the point is never Malachi, it's the message of God. And you hear God bringing this burden to bear. And what does he want you to know? Well, look at verse 2. God the Father wants you to know with absolute clarity, listen, I have loved you. Are you hearing that word from God tonight? God is declaring to you, in this year, I have loved you. Now listen, many of us have been complaining about 2020. We're so thankful that year's over. But listen to me, 2020 wasn't the problem, was it? The problem is us and our sin and our rebellion. And I just want to be sorry to ruin this for you. Guess what you brought into 2021? Yourself. And your sin and your rebellion. And so, yes, 2020 had unique problems, but it's going to have its own set of problems. But do you know what else is never changing? God's declaration in Jesus that I have loved you is just as present today as it was when he said this to Israel. Now, just work through this a second. He says, all right, I have loved you, verse 2. What is Israel's response? Look at the text. But you say, how have you loved us? Did you hear Israel's immediate response? Wait a minute. God, your declaration is that you love me? Prove it. Get a list. Write it down. Go from greatest to least. We're ready. We've got time. Let us know how you loved us. Now, brothers and sisters of First Byron CRC, you are way above that, right? You would never, ever question God's love towards you or ask him to prove himself, right? You would never grumble and say, God, I looked at my circumstances, and when I evaluated against your love, guess which one's lacking? You. And we, like Israel, do this verbally and internally all the time. God, I got to be honest. I don't feel like you love me. I don't see it manifest itself in ways that I particularly enjoy. God, how have you loved us? And so Israel asks a brutal, staggering question before the Father. So here's what I want to ask you. How does God answer such a stark response? The question God responds with will fundamentally determine how you view God and the trajectory of your life. Look at the text in verse 2. So Israel says, how have you loved us? And here is God's response. Is not Esau Jacob's brother? That response will fundamentally change your life on how you answer that question. God says, listen, is not Esau Jacob's brother? Now, you remember Isaac and Rebekah, Genesis 25. Isaac and Rebekah are continuing the promises of God, and they have children. They have Esau, and they have Jacob. Esau, a little shorter, a little heavier, a lot hairier, very red. Jacob, not so much. Taller, smoother skin, nothing like his brother. So go back to the question. God says, Is not Esau Jacob's brother? What's the answer? Well, yes. God, we asked you how you loved us. I want some specifics. Why are you doing Old Testament history? Nobody brought up Genesis 25. Nobody's looking to have an OT history lesson here. And God is looking at Israel. And God is looking at every one of us tonight. And he's saying, if you want to know the depth and the scope and the fervency of my love towards you, answer this one question. Is Esau Jacob's brother? And we've already said yes. And not only is he his brother, but what are they? They're twins. And what we see from the text in Genesis 25 is that Esau is the elder brother, right? And what does that mean for Esau as the elder brother? But he gets the inheritance. He gets the blessing. He gets all that's coming in the family line. Look at what God answers here at the end of verse 2. Declares the Lord, yet I have loved Jacob. Verse 3, but Esau I have hated. I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. God is saying, look, you want to know my love for you? My love for you is seen in that you, Israel, are in whose line? Are you Esau or are you Jacob? And every Israelite worth their salt knows, we're not of Esau. We're not Edom. Who are we? We're Jacob. And God is saying, I have loved your forefather, Jacob. I have chosen him. Just look at it again in the verse how God says this. I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have laid waste to his hill country. Do you see what God is doing here? He's saying to us and he's saying to Israel, you want to know the extent of my love for you? Look at my free choices. I chose Jacob. Nobody moved my hand. I did it. Second, look at my choice. It was powerful. You are the lineage of Jacob. When I chose to love him, it actually happened and took root. And third, it was unconditional. There was nothing that moved the heart of God to pick Jacob over Esau. And God is saying to Israel and to us, listen, if you want to receive my love, if you want to understand my love, I'm going to oppose it and show it to you against my hatred that flows from my justice. I have loved Jacob, but look at verse 3. But Esau I have hated. Now listen, this is what's going to separate the pretenders from the contenders. This is what's going to cause you to have a moment of crisis in your faith. Is God really this holy? Is God really this sovereign? And also, is God really good? Because if he's good, then he can do this. And so God comes to Israel and says, you want to know my love? You want to know? Back to the story in Genesis 25. Is Jacob some innocent guy? Absolutely not. Esau's not innocent. Jacob's not innocent. God does not judge innocent people. God brings judgment on some, and God brings his grace and his mercy on others. All of us are guilty and deserving of his judgment, and yet in his sheer mercy, he extends his grace to some. And so here we see in Malachi chapter 1, all the way into verse 3, that God loves his people. He wants you to know you're loved, and he wants you to know you're loved because he's elected you and saved you of his own free choice. Now, this is eventually going to get us back to Isaiah. But I want you now to flip back to the left to the book of Deuteronomy. Because I know in my heart, when I began to butt up against this teaching, I started to fight. I started to say, not fair, not okay. So go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, and I want you to hear and be amazed at the electing, choosing love of God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, here verse 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who were on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any of these other people that the Lord set his love on you. Did you hear it? And chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers. All the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 7, God is saying, look, I am seeking a people. Out of a heart of love, I am going to choose rebellious sinners to cleanse and bring to myself for my purposes. And it won't be anything in you. It'll be completely in my good, sovereign, loving purposes. Now, you may be saying, yeah, this is great and all, but you haven't crossed over to the New Testament yet. Remember, this is the Old Testament God. He's cranky. He has a bad 2,000 years. And then Jesus shows up and everything's great again. Do we believe that first, Byron? No. God is unchanging. His nature and purposes are good and consistent throughout Scripture. So go with me to the New Testament, to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to hear that this is the consistent message of God. That in love, he chooses people to himself. Ephesians 1. Begin with me in verse 4 and listen to the preciousness of these words. Ephesians 1 verse 4. Even as he chose us. This is written to Gentiles. In him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Ready? In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Do you see it there? God in Christ, from a heart of love, choosing people to redeem to his side. This is the consistent nature and character of the God we worship and serve. Romans chapter 9, verse 15. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it for you. Remind you of this. For he tells Moses, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So think about this. Israel, God didn't choose you all the way back in Deuteronomy. God didn't choose you in Isaiah. God didn't choose you in Malachi because of anything in you. God has chosen people before the foundation of the world truly out of himself, his goodness and his love for his purposes, to show his mercy and to show his compassion. And first, Byron, that is who we want to be people that magnify the love and goodness of God in choosing us, to be people in the year ahead who display that we are here, gathered in this place, not because we were born into the right family, not because we have the right education or degrees or standing in society, but why are you here and why are you loved? Truly and exclusively from the purposes and heart of God set on you for no reason in yourself. This truth and these promises are some of the most humbling in Scripture, but they are some of the most joy-inducing truths you will ever come across. Okay, so here's the question. If this is true in Deuteronomy, if this is true in Isaiah, if it's true in Ephesians, why did you title the message, Jesus is everything you need in 2021? What does any of this have to do with him? Well, let's see if you catch it. Go to Ephesians chapter 2.
You're still there and you're in verse 4. Listen to how Paul explains this. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he has loved us. Do you hear it? He's been rich. He's been merciful. He's loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, just like Israel, just like in their bondage, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, are you ready? Verse 7. So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying to us today, all these promises, all of this fulfillment, all of this love of God is manifest and culminates in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has loved you perfectly in the Lord Jesus, and all of it comes together in his kindness towards us in Christ. When you go into this new year with whatever circumstances come your way, listen, your news outlets are already saying strain number 2 of COVID is coming, and this one passes through children. They're already throwing it out there, right? So whatever comes our way, you know what's unchangeable? That from the foundation of the world and the purposes of God, from a heart of love, he has set his affection on you in Christ, and it's unshakable. And so in the year ahead, whatever comes your way, begin by fixing your gaze on the love of God as seen in Jesus. And then go enter your world. And then go engage your circumstances. Now, just back up in Ephesians chapter 1 and look at how it gets even clearer in Ephesians 1 verse 5. Hear it again and see if you noticed it when I passed over it. Ephesians 1 verse 5. He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Ready? To the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the what? Beloved. God, who in his nature is a God of perfect love, who resides in a Trinitarian relationship of perfect love, here in Ephesians chapter 1 declares to us, who is the ultimate beloved? Yes, the Lord loves you. Yes, he set his mercy and favor on you, and you should rejoice in that. But we're not the end game. The ultimate beloved here in the verse is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one upon whom the angels long to look at. He is the one who the throne will be centered around for all of eternity. God has loved you, but never miss the point that Jesus Christ is the beloved. And so this year, I want you to rejoice in the truth that God is a promising God. All the way back in Isaiah 9 verse 6, he says to you, there is one coming. And he's my beloved. And in Isaiah 42, he says, listen, there is one who I have chosen, who is my servant. And he is, Isaiah 42, beloved. And here in Ephesians chapter 1, he reminds you again, Jesus is the beloved. So first, Byron, the year ahead of us is an amazing opportunity, one, to watch the unfolding plans of God march forward as all of us fix our gaze on the beloved. And so in the year ahead, when you don't feel like God loves you, when your circumstances don't go the way you want, when you slide into the sinful ways of Israel and you join with him and say, God, how have you loved me, God? Here's my prayer for you, that you would run to Isaiah, that you would run to this beautiful truth that I know God has loved me because he is a sovereign, electing, choosing God. That your mind would go, God is a choosing God from the very foundation of the earth. For who chose Adam? I mean, just consider, where did Adam come from? But a clump of dirt. Did that dirt have any say in the matter that God grabbed it and formed it? Zero. Where did Eve come from? But the rib, the side of Adam. Did that rib have any say that it was going to get removed out and from the rib create Eve? Zero. Noah, living his life, and God says, Noah and your family, I choose you to continue my promises. Then comes along Abram, and God looks at him and says, Abram, I choose you to advance my purposes. I change your name, and I'm going to make you into a great nation. From Abraham comes all of Israel, these people who God makes his own possession. And then God says, Israel, I'm going to choose to send you prophets, and I'm going to raise up every single prophet. I'm going to do it. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, ready? Before I formed you, Jeremiah, in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, Jeremiah, I consecrated you. And Jeremiah, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Every single prophet who spoke on behalf of God, just like Isaiah where we began, was chosen by God in love before the foundation of the world. And from Jeremiah, the prophets finish out, and John the Baptist shows up. And God, in his sovereign electing love, says, John the Baptist, you're mine. And from your earliest days, you're going to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God goes to Mary, and he says, Mary, surprise, you're going to have a baby. I've chosen you, Mary. And blessed are you, Mary, because I have chosen you. And Mary and Joseph raise the Lord Jesus Christ, and then Jesus goes out, and what does he do? But he chooses 12 disciples, and the Lord Jesus, in John 15, verse 16, says this, you did not, ready? Choose me. But I chose you. Why did he choose him? Because he needed a fisherman to be added to his team, because without a fisherman, nothing was going to happen. I like to think that's the case. My last name, Visser, from the Netherlands, means fisherman, and I'm all geeked out about that. I went and visited my hometown in the Netherlands. I went to the North Sea, and I connected with my ancestral heritage, because we're fishermen of the sea. So I got all kind of motives in this text. Is that why he chose them? No. He chose them out of a heart of love that was flowing from the Father to redeem them for God's covenantal purposes, that in them the love of Christ might be displayed to the world. Your God is a God who wants you to know, I love you. And when you think of his love, there are many places you could go. But first, Byron, I pray that you would join in with Isaiah. You would say, I know that God loves me. Because the only reason the gospel is beautiful to me, the only reason I desire to sing these songs, the only reason I desire to come here and be with God's people, is because the God of love put that in my heart by the Spirit. That is why we're here, and that's why we're going forward in the year ahead, to testify to the heart of God that he is a God of covenantal love to us through Christ and secured by the Spirit. Going to wrap up with Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. I want you to hear Jesus culminate these words to you. In Matthew 12, verse 15, Jesus begins with this. Now Jesus was aware of this and withdrew from there. Many followed him, and he healed them. And he ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. You hear it? Behold, Isaiah 42, verse 1, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, and he will bring justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope. Hear what Jesus is quoting? He says, I am the beloved. I am the one who was chosen before the foundation of the world, and I am the one who will bring the justice and victory. Now, did you hear Malachi in that? Just listen again to Malachi chapter 1. If, verse 4, Edom says, we are scattered, but we will rebuild the ruins, the Lord of hosts says they will be called the wicked country and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. Your eyes shall see this, and you shall say, great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. In Malachi chapter 1, in those short verses, God declares that he is a God of love, he is a God who chooses, and he is a God of justice. What did Jesus just quote about himself in Isaiah 42? That he is the beloved of the God of love. He is the chosen one of the God who chooses. And how does it end? But he will bring justice to victory. Do you see how this works? Yes, God chooses some and passes over others. God does not back an inch off of his justice when he displays his mercy. And Jesus comes along to us and says, listen, if you want to see the fulfillment of all of these prophecies, I am the representation of God's love. I am the one that God has chosen to fulfill all of this, and I am also the one that will bring all the justice to bear. All the justice that needed to go on these nations, all the justice that God needed to cast out, all the justice that needed to come against us, Jesus says, I'll carry that for you too. Brothers and sisters, this is how you have been loved. God, through Christ, has chosen you. And in that, you now find your identity and your hope in the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's my prayer that you will take this heart and this vision of God into the year ahead. That you will take this reality into every relationship you have. For what does 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 say? Love consists in this. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus brings the victory. And then it says, dear friends, 1 John 4. If God so loved us in this way, we also must love one another. First Byron, what's our call this year? In this church, with each other, with a new pastor, with your elders, with the community at large, what's our call? We get to display the Father's heart of love sacrificially looking to Jesus with absolute humility because none of us have earned this precious position. What a glorious call from God. And second and lastly, in Romans chapter 16, verse 13, Paul's concluding, and he says, greet Rufus, and then listen to this description he gives in Romans 16, verse 13. Chosen in the Lord. I mean, there are so many descriptions he could give about Rufus. I don't know them. I wasn't there. But I'm sure he knew him. He could have given many. And Paul says, you know what I want you to know about Rufus? That this brother who's going to come to this church, he's chosen in Christ. First Byron, what would it look like every single week to walk in here and not to see, okay, this person, here's their age. Okay, this person, here's what school they go to. This person, here's their education level. This person, here's their income potential in this church. This person, here's their standing in society. What if one of the first lenses you had for your brothers and sisters of the Lord was to say, she's chosen. And it had nothing to do in her, because we all know that clearly. We spent time with her. It had nothing to do with her. Why is she here? Because of God's electing love. Why is Pastor David here? It is not because he's so great and boy can he expound the word, although he can.
Why is he here? Because before the foundation of the world, from the heart of God, out of a posture of love, God looked out at rebellious David and said, he's mine. And I'm going to redeem him, and I'm going to purify him, and I'm going to set my love on him in Christ so that he might display the love of Christ to you. And then you might receive that love and bring it to bear on God's world so that God's heart of love can flow through us, never minimizing his justice. We don't go soft. But first, Byron, may we always be a people that make much of the heart of love that flows from God through Jesus, applied by the Spirit, and resides in us. First, Byron, you're loved. You are loved by the sovereign, electing, free, choosing of God that has come upon your life. May you rejoice, and may the world take note to the praise of his name. Let's